Hi guys, welcome back to What's On Your Mind. I'm here today with Nadia Jagesar. Nadia, you might know from her role on Indian Matchmaking, but Nadia is not only one of the stars from Indian Matchmaking, but she's also the founder and owner at Euphoria Events, a two-time TEDx speaker, and the star of Outlet, a sci-fi short film that you can find exclusively on YouTube. Nadia has amassed an audience of over 110,000 on Instagram and is here today to tell us about her story, how she's made it to where she is today, and everything in the middle. Nadia and I had an extensive conversation, so this is actually only part one of two, and part two is going to come out next week on Wednesday at 6 a.m. EST. But in the meantime, I hope you guys enjoy today's episode. Nadia, thank you so much for being here. Why don't you say hi?
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being here on a Friday. Means a lot to all of us. But before we get into it, why don't you give us a little rundown of who you are and what you do in your own words?
Yeah. I mean, your introduction was quite wholesome. I didn't even realize you're going to put Outlet in there, which is so cool. So thank you for that, including that. That's been a very recent project, which was super exciting. But yeah, I am a born and raised Jersey girl. Love Jersey. Yeah, Jersey. Jersey girls are the best.
Yes.
Like I said, born and raised, went to undergrad here, grad school here, just Jersey through and through. It's Taylor Ham, not pork roll, all of that. But to your point of just kind of like introduction, I do event planning. So I founded Euphoria Events back in 2018. I gave two TED Talk or TEDx talks in the same year, which was super exciting. I had filmed Outlet. Let's see, this was 2020. This just came out. So that was mid 2023.
Wow.
And that connection came from just like a good friend of mine who I was taking like improv classes just to like meet new people and just like try new things.
Yeah.
And a kid in my improv class introduced me to this guy who's this director, and I got connected to Outlet. I just started actually about a month ago as the lead for a South Asian focused dating app. I also work full time on top of all of this. I've been in the fragrance industry now about 12 years, and I do event planning and education for a fragrance company. And so I travel the country doing events, like pop-up events and education on fragrances.
That is amazing. So you have your hands full is what I'm hearing. I want to pick every little thing from that and touch on everything that we can. But so let's start from the beginning. Let's start at Euphoria Events, where that came from, how that started, what inspired you to start it. And we'll go from there, because obviously you do that in your day to day too, which is so interesting. It's so cool to see it, like the intersection there. So start with Euphoria Events and we'll take it from there.
Yeah. So it's funny because probably back in 2012 or maybe like even before that, I had said to one of this like guy I was dating, I was like, I think I would be like a great event planner. But I was so young, like I didn't know what it entailed. I didn't know what, but I'm like very detail oriented. I love weddings. Like I love planning things. And so I was just like, I just didn't know where to start or like what to do. And so I had made these comments, and I like have always like helped my friends and like cousins and things like that when it came to weddings. And finally a friend of mine had started his own event planning company. And I didn't have the bandwidth to do the planning aspect, but I just worked whenever they had events. I would be like the bridal assistant, or I would help in like a small way. And so I was able to kind of like learn the industry in that way. They ended up like closing their doors a few years ago. And I was finishing grad school, and I had been unemployed at that time because I had started when I was working, and then I had left my job and finished full-time business school. And so at the end of business school, I was like, well, I don't have a job. I was applying and I was like a little bit down. I was like, why don't I just start? I was like, I always said I wanted to do event planning. I now had the like experience under my belt. And I was like, why don't I just do an event planning company? And I had all these ideas that were never really like incorporated into that company. It wasn't my company, right? So I can give my suggestions, but they don't have to take it. And yeah, so that honestly was how it was born. One night I had a glass of wine in my laptop and I just like registered the LLC. I started doing like a mood board of like the colors and what I wanted like the vibe to be and what it was going to mean. And I ended up like maybe a year later just like completely rebranding. But yeah, that was the start. And ironically, about a month or so after I opened the LLC and I started like, you know, putting these pieces together, I got a full-time job offer. And after being unemployed for 2 years, of course, like couldn't say no to a full-time
Couldn't
job,
say no.
health insurance, you know, 401k, all these things, right? So I was like, cool, I'll take it and I can do my business on the side because I was already doing so, like I was working full time, going to school part time. I was teaching dance. I was doing all these things. And so, and doing the events whenever they would come up. So, like, I was like, okay, my time management skills are like on point. I can do this too. So, little did I realize that after grateful that I had a full time job during the pandemic, let me just say that, because I know a lot of
Of
my
course.
event professionals or wedding industry professionals had a very tough time during COVID. And so very grateful that I had a full-time job. But once the ban was lifted on events and things like that, it got really crazy with like working full-time. The most I had done was 15 weddings on top of a full-time job. So almost like every other weekend, if not some back-to-back weekends, I had weddings, which it was a lot. But I was grateful that my business was growing and I was like, good, like if it continues at this momentum, like I might be able to go full time. And then the burnout was real. I definitely took a little step back and I've been doing weddings every year since, but just the limiting the number of weddings I've been doing because I'm kind of dipping my toe into obviously a lot of other things. But yeah, the catalyst was really just like I had planted the seed in my head so many years ago, and this was an opportunity that I saw, like finishing business school. I was like, I couldn't find a job, so I created my own job. And it has been something that's been really fun to do and like has quickly taught me a lot because you learn like it's people management is a lot of it is people management because during weddings, there are so many personalities that come out, right? Weddings are such a high stress time for people. I feel like weddings and funerals are both equally high emotional times, of course, in very opposite ends of the spectrum, but people just get very frantic. And I think managing the people is a huge part of the job. It's actually more so than like the logistics. But yeah, I love it. There's no better feeling than like seeing your couples enjoy their day and like seeing all of the pieces come together and you know they have a great time and that's like that's everything. And I have such a great team. Like everyone has just like fell so naturally into this. Everybody also works full time and they all have their own things going on, but they all have the same passion for just helping people and bringing these things to life. And of course we have fun like along the way. So yeah, it's been really great.
I mean, I have so much respect for people. You can hear me okay, right, by the way?
Yeah.
I have so much admiration and respect for event planners specifically. I know I had mentioned this to you, but we went to India. We went to India for my cousin's wedding. And I was like, I was flabbergasted. And I wasn't the one doing all the planning. Like, I was just looking at my uncle, like, oh my God. Like, he was like running everywhere in like the span of 10 minutes. He was wearing 10 hats at once. He was trying to do 50 different things at the same time. He was trying to look after everyone. He's trying to like worry about where his daughter is, where the groom is, where, you know, his it was just like it was madness. So I see what you mean in that wedding planning or event planning is more so people planning and people maintenance
Yes.
because it, like there's everyone feels like they have a job and they have a role and they have like oh a space in this and it just makes everything 10 times more complicated too. So tell us about what this is completely going in a different direction, but we'll come back. What has wedding planning taught you and what has or event planning just generally, what has it taught you?
Well, definitely how to work with different personalities, because as the as the planner, you're working with vendors, so you have to put your like vendor hat on and understand how what you're doing, how you, because essentially I'm another vendor, but I'm also an extension of the bride and the groom and their families. So like when I'm talking to a vendor, that's who I am. I'm not their boss, but I am the one who's putting all the pieces together and making sure that they're doing their job. So again, it's like partly people management, but it's also just like imparting what I feel are the necessary traits that they need to have to make the day successful, meaning they need to be timely, they need to be professional and kind, they need to be flexible. And so being able to say that without saying that is like another thing. So again, like that people management. But then on the flip side of that, being able to manage like the bride and groom, making sure they have a special day, making sure that their day is as painless as possible, but managing like the parents and the family who also have like expectations. But I think outside of like that aspect of it, I've definitely learned that not that I didn't know this before, but very, very, very firsthand seeing how differently women-owned businesses are treated versus men-owned
Interesting.
businesses. Girl, let me tell you,
Please do.
I've had like vendors be like, "Oh, can I talk to your owner or can I talk to your boss?" And I'm like, "I am the boss."
That's me.
I've had at different events, like I always make sure any event I do that I have at least one guy on the team
Oh my God.
because sometimes vendors don't want to talk to me, or they're very rude to me and they're like really chill with whoever the guy is. I've had parents who have like publicly yelled at me or publicly yelled at someone on the team. But then when I say like, "Hey, go talk to that vendor who is a man," they will go and like be like, "Oh, so like da da da," like really calmly and whatever. I'm like, "I'm not your daughter. I'm not your child that you can just yell at me if something like is not to your liking." And it's not even that we had done something wrong. Like this specific instance that I'm talking about was a
Yeah.
table setup. And we're not responsible for setting up the tables, that's the venue. But the dad came, yelled at me in front of everyone in the cocktail hour, "What is happening inside? Da-da." And I was like, what do you mean? I was like, oh my God, like completely took me. I thought something was on fire inside. I was like, what? So I go inside and he's like, "This is wrong and this is wrong." And I said, "Uncle," I was like, it's literally what it shows on the floor plan. I said, "We didn't set up the tables. If you have a problem, go talk to the venue owner, who was a man." And he went over. He's like, "Hey, bro, like, the tables like don't look right. Do you just have something you can like?" And I was like, "Are you joking? You just yelled at me at the cocktail hour in front of all of your guests. But when we go behind the doors and you're gonna go talk to this guy, you're gonna be like, oh, hey, like, can you just change the tables?" And of course, like the way that people talk to me, like they, or it's not even just me, just women owners in general. And I've had other women vendors share very similar sentiments with me about just like harassment, like make people making comments, inappropriate touching. Like it is actually a wild industry. And I think after being on the show too, and then still getting to do weddings, people feel like they know me. So they come up to me to engage in conversation about the show. And I'm like, dude, I'm working. Like now is not the time. Like I don't come to your desk and sit down and start talking about, like
Oh my God.
something that you watched on TV. Like, it's just a very interesting dynamic, being me and being a wedding planner and being a woman, especially with South Asian men and South Asian vendors where they have very little respect for, oh girl, I know the ick, like tell me. So, definitely learned that, and just about like standing up for myself when things aren't right. I added like an anti-harassment clause into my contract now, because
That's
that's how bad
awesome.
it was getting. Like,
That's cool.
it's crazy. That's crazy. Like when when members of my no one should be crying at a wedding, and it shouldn't be because somebody yelled at them for doing something that was not in our control. It's very easy as the wedding planner and the planning team to get your finger pointed at when things don't go exactly as planned, but we're not the ones executing the things. We're the ones just making sure that
You're
things
planning.
happen correct. And so, like, when something's wrong with the table layout, I didn't make the table layout, the venue did. I didn't set the tables out myself, the venue did. I just go and check that it matches what I have on my paper. And if it looks the same and not everything is out, then great. Like, they did their job in my eyes. But, like, yeah, it's a lot. I also have learned that other businesses are like out to scam you, where like I've gotten a few inquiries from like fake people who, or like real couples who like want to get inquiries to find out about my quotes. And then like I literally Googled this person a little bit later and learned that they were from like a competing event planning company. I'm like, dude. So at first I was like upset with myself that I even like let that happen. But then I was like, you know, if they have to stoop this low to, or they're that insecure with their business that they have to like fake being a couple to get a call
It's
with me and learn
amazing.
about my prices and my rates and what I do and how I talk to my clients, then like they're not very good at doing business. It's like stay in your lane, be confident in what you're selling and what you're doing, and your business will come to you. Like, or you know, you will find the people who want to work with you. So yeah, I mean, I can go on and on about like all of the crazy things, but yeah, there's definitely like nuggets to take away in terms of just like life lessons and you know, things I've picked up along the way.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, I think you could nitpick and piece away and keep going. But that's with every situation, I think, in life. Like, just the more times you look at it, that's what they say, right? If you when you read the same book over and over again, you see something new every time you read it. And it's the same thing. It's like the more you look back on the situation, on the events, you can probably and will, I'm sure, find something new from it every time. And I'm so sorry that you had to put that clause in. I can't. Ugh.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh,
I
trust. Yeah.
know. Even.
Like the inappropriate text at like 2 in the morning from vent, like from other vendors, from groomsmen, from,
From
yeah.
groomsmen?
Because what it is, so the way that we operate is I usually make a group chat with the bridal party and then a group chat with the family so that we can communicate, like, hey, in 10 minutes, we need you guys at the wherever. Or like, hey, if you have any questions, we're all in a group chat. You can just ask us questions. And it's a very quick way to communicate, right? So,
Yeah.
so everyone has
So
my
everyone has your
number
number.
plus, yeah. So they do have my number, but then, yeah, at the, you know, they get drunk and then they start sending crazy messages.
Phenomenal.
Yeah,
Phenomenal.
I know, a bunch of
Totally,
winners.
totally. Yeah.
But
Yeah.
if I do need to preface anything, is that to any and all couples getting married, like hire a day of coordinator. Like if it's not me, just hire a coordinator, please, because like there's no reason, like even if they're bad, they will still make your day easier because it is something it they are meant to take the weight off of. You know, like you said, your uncle was running around. There's no reason your uncle should have been running around at his son or daughter's wedding because
Right.
it should be the coordinator handling all that stuff. Your family and friends should just be enjoying themselves and celebrating you, not having to worry about like putting flowers out or escort cards out or did this thing happen this, whatever. And it also leaves the responsibility of time management to somebody
Yeah.
else. Like there's so like you don't have to hire someone to plan the whole thing, just hire somebody for the day of at the very least. But
Very smart.
yeah, I just don't know how anyone does weddings without a coordinator, to be completely honest.
I feel like that, I mean, it would, it sounds like it makes a lot of sense. And I think a lot of people just, it goes over their heads, especially because everyone's just so used to doing things on their own. But that's the old way of thinking, I think.
Yeah.
So going to, you were talking about how you get like people come up to you and talk to you about the show. So just shifting gears a little bit and going in that direction. What has that been like? What was the experience of how did first, let's start at the beginning. How did that opportunity even come about? Let's start there.
Yeah, so I've been a dancer my whole life, and my dance
Yes.
company that I'm with, we get emails all the time for castings for different things. And the girl who manages the inbox saw the casting and she sent it to me. And she's like, "You should do this." And I was like, "You're just sending this to me because I'm the only single person on the team." And she's like, "No, I actually think like you'd be really great. Like, you have an outgoing personality, whatever." And I was like, "Ugh, fine." And so the application process was like relatively easy. It was like answer a few questions, send a photo or video or something. And I was like, "All right, fine, whatever." So like you apply to these things not thinking like you're gonna
No,
get
nothing
in.
ever. Yeah.
And so that was probably like August or September. They sent me an email saying, "Hey, like, we're still just going through the process. You'll hear from us latest by December." So I was like, "Okay." So December came. Obviously, I had their email, so I responded like, "Hey, just like checking in." Didn't hear anything. So I was like, "Okay, cool. I didn't get picked. I didn't think anything of it." Well, fast forward to March of the following year. So now it had been 6 months since I didn't hear anything from them. And they reach out and they were like, "Hey, like just wondering, like, are you still single and would you be interested in like joining the show?" And I was like, "Yes, I am still single. And yeah, let's talk about this." And so yeah, that was March. They ended up coming to my house in May, like that first weekend of May. And that was 2019. And
Wow.
yeah, we started filming then. And the rest is history.
So tell, I mean, we I have the love-hate relationship with reality TV because it's super entertaining, but I feel like, and I don't know if you're allowed to talk about this at all, so we won't go into
My
it, but
contract's up, don't worry.
okay. It's very scripted, right? It's reality TV.
It's not.
Right? Oh,
Indian
it's not?
matchmaking is not.
It's not? It's not
No,
scripted.
no.
Okay, so tell us about the experience as a whole. What was it like? What was your first impression going into it? And if you could go back and like tell yourself something from when it started, what would you say to her?
So yeah, that's a great call out of reality TV is that as much as they call it reality, it's usually very handled or managed by, but ours was more, they called it a docu-series, and essentially it was like they wanted to, the only thing I would say controlled was the people you were matched with. So you were really only matched with the people who were like cast, because we had to go through background checks, psych analysis, all of these like different
Yeah.
things. So you had that option. They did ask me if I was open to being matched with anyone who was like in Seema's database. But in my head, I was like, "Well, I'm Guyanese." So I was like, "I don't know if a guy from India is going to want to marry a Guyanese girl, because like I already have enough trouble dating like American born Indians, let alone like a guy from India, like being very closed off to that option." So I said no. I said, "I'll just take, whatever, whoever you have." And so that's one thing that was controlled, is that we were only able to match with those who applied, went through the screening and all of that. And so obviously the pool becomes very small. The other thing is that, like they paid for the dates, and there were not many factors that were controlled in the show. They didn't tell us what to say. They didn't tell us what to wear. They didn't tell us anything, but also they weren't
That's
paying us, so
awesome.
they really couldn't like tell us anything.
Oh, I didn't know that. Damn. Okay.
Did not get a single penny, like literally not a penny. We didn't get paid for our time, the time we took off from work. We didn't get wardrobe, we didn't get makeup, we didn't get anything. And when I tell people that, they're actually shocked, because like all of these other shows, like Family Karma, like all those,
Yeah.
all every other show gets paid, like literally every other show. But yeah, we got
I'm shocked.
$0,
Wow.
zero
I
pennies,
had
I
no
should say, not
idea.
even dollars, zero pennies. Yeah. So yeah, like if you had to take off work and like you didn't have vacation days, or you like couldn't use vacation days, like you just were in the negative of like what you were doing. And this like also ties back to like, why the SAG strike was so important, because it's like you literally utilized us for free to build a show that became like a global, I don't want to use the word phenomenon, but a global hit.
Hey,
And
yeah.
you guys made all of these great strides and things like that, but it's like, what did it do for us? Like, some people, it actually hurt their reputation. Some it
Yep.
didn't. Some, like,
Yep.
it was whatever. So it's like, was it worth the $0 that we got paid to have negative press about us? Yeah, that's why like the SAG strike was so important, was that like these workers are so underpaid, and so many other people benefit from the things that they write, like the write like the shows that writers write, the actors make, make it come to life, the producers make it come, but it's like none of that would exist if the people didn't write it.
Yeah. Wow. I had no idea that you guys got nothing for it. Like that's very surprising and very shocking to me. Like that's yeah. That's I'm quite honestly like shocked. Like I would have never guessed in a million years that that was the case.
Yeah. Anything we wanted to wear, do, it was on our dime, other than them
Wow.
paying for the dates. That's it.
Wow.
And it's like, what, a
Did
dinner?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. One meal.
Yeah,
What about
yeah.
my whole day pay? Like,
Right.
wow. Was there anything that you feel like, or rather, what do you feel like came out of that show that would not have happened otherwise? And do you regret doing it to any degree?
So I don't regret a lot of things in my life. I think
Yeah.
I'm just that type of person where I take the silver lining from everything.
Yeah.
I don't regret doing it because honestly, knock on wood, like all great things have come from it. Like despite not finding my husband, like I've made great friends. Like myself, Jay and Dilip are like really close. Jay actually just got married and like we were all at his wedding and like it was just so fun. Like,
Oh.
yeah, we're all just like great friends. Dilip and I were roommates at the wedding and like we hang out quite often. And so like I'm so grateful to the show for
That's
those
awesome.
connections and those friendships. But I think even outside of that, it introduced me to a lot of people I probably would not have been connected to.
Yeah.
And that's that in itself, I mean, again, if we're like finding silver linings here, like that in itself was like a huge, a huge thing, a great positive outcome from it. But yeah, I mean, it makes other things very difficult. Like it actually makes dating, people are like, oh yeah, you probably have so many guys wanting to go out with you. And it's like, yeah, I do. But like now dating is that much harder because now I have so many other factors to consider when I'm on a date with somebody, because now it's like, do they want to date me for me, or do they want to date me so they can just tell somebody they went out with Nadia from Indian Matchmaking? Do they want to date me to get to know me, or do they already think that they know me because they watched 1 hour of my life edited on a show? Because that's another thing. People think that they know all these things about me, and it's like, you don't. You actually don't
They
know
don't know anything.
anything about who I am.
Yeah.
People then also, it's like, well, social media as it is such a sometimes a rocky, hard place for couples in general. And now it's like, is my guy going to be confident enough in himself and in our relationship to not get upset if another guy's commenting on my pictures, or if a guy's in my DMs, or if a guy is like, whatever? Like, I'm not engaging with these people, but like, the fact that they write something on my page, like, are they going to be okay with that? Are they also going to not be upset if, like, we're at an event and they just become the camera guy whose people are asking to take our picture over and over? Or if somebody stops me, he's not getting attention. Like, is he going to be upset by that? Like, there's so many other factors now to
Factors,
consider
yeah.
that, like, do they want their life to be public or not? Like, do they want to be posted on my page? And if they do want to be posted, do they have ulterior motives of why they want to be put? Like, there's
Do they want
so
the shout
many
out?
things,
Yeah.
right? And it's like, are people going to be scrutinizing them of like, any guy I date, like, are they going to go on their page? Like, I remember I posted a story of one of my gay guy friends. We went out to dinner and I literally put, as like the caption on my story was like, on a date, kind of nervous, but and like he's a doctor, he's also a dancer, he's so cute, like I've literally been obsessed with, like I'm obsessed with him, and everybody was like, oh my God, good for you, you found like a hot doctor, blah blah blah, and he's a dancer, did it, like and all these things. And I was like, oh my God, what if he wasn't that? What if he wasn't a doctor, or wasn't cute, or wasn't a dancer, and he was just a regular dude who just had a
Regular,
really
regular.
good heart? Yeah, regular Joe. Like, would people then be like, that's who you ended up with, or oh, this guy and her, or like, you know, talk shit, right? Like, because people love to shit on things when people are happy. And so it's like, and you always like hear these comments of like, oh, like this hot girl with like this average guy, or like this, you know, they always make those types of comparisons. And it's like, you could be a hot person, a hot guy or a girl, and just be a shitty person. Just because you're hot doesn't mean make you a good person. So it's like, I hate when people make that comparison of like, how did he get her? It's like, yeah, maybe he's actually a gentleman and like cares about her and respects her, and like that's why she wants to be with him and not with like the other hot, super hot guy who was a dick. Like, so many thoughts on this, but yeah. So it's like, you know, that those are the added complicated layers of like now having to date after being on the show.
Alrighty, y'all, that concludes part one of two with my conversation with Nadia. Part two will be out next week, same time, same place, and you will get to hear the rest of our lovely conversation. But in the meantime, don't forget to check Nadia out on socials. And if you haven't checked out Sci-Fi, her new short film, make sure you go check that out. I will find the link and paste it in the show notes below as well. So if you guys have any questions, please feel free to leave them. And if not, I will see you next week for another episode, actually part two of this episode. Bye, guys.
Aaj bhi hai pani 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 pani.